Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, 223rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of the 2nd District, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon, Mr. Peps.
Have you had enough?
No,
it's Bierstein.
Bierstein.
Right? Boom. Now that's a lot. It's etched in your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We got a bunch of things to talk about. Obviously, the county fair is in full swing full moo if you spend too much time in the egg area. We've also got, we'll get kind of a background. We'll spend a little bit of time in the show to give a background of the situation that's going on with WIAT. You've probably heard about it over the last couple of weeks or so with the water, what is, what isn't, how to get there, all that kind of stuff. And also, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Shelter Cove, as they've got, believe it or not, everybody in the Humboldt County has got special challenges. And we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Shelter Cove's challenges, at least as Estelle sees them when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this very afternoon comes from Plautus. That's interesting. Plautus.
Plautus.
So I don't know if that's where Plato came from or the duck-billed platypus came from. I would suggest it's probably in Greek, so it's probably not the latter of the two. Quote, "No man is wise enough by himself."
That's a great quote.
Is that kind of cool?
One. That is a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, dear heart, gentle person, code enforcement is really right up there, and everybody's, oh, that makes me feel so giddy. Items. And yet I would suggest if we don't have the laws, we can't enforce.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have the laws, or if we have the laws and choose not to enforce, same as if we don't have the laws. And then you got special considerations, I would guess, would be probably the proper term for those areas that have specific situations that need another set of laws or rules or guidelines.
Yeah.
When you notice, I'm staying away from what Eric Holder said about marijuana, right? if he wants to clean it up, just legalize it or not. Just take care of it one shot. Don't do what you're doing, man.
That is where
it's on the books.
Happen.
If it's on the books, you can't say don't enforce it.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what he said. So,
yeah,
okay.
It's very
my political statement is now over. Sure.
So which office are you running for?
No. They would have to chase me. I wouldn't run for it. What, for folks who are unfamiliar with Shelter Cove,
mm-hmm.
other than knowing it's somewhere in southern Humboldt and it might be close to water,
mm-hmm.
what is Shelter Cove? How does it fit into the 2nd District?
Well, actually, Shelter Cove is one of my favorite places. It is very, very beautiful little part of the Lost Coast. It's a little town right at the southern end of the King Range Wilderness area and at the northern part of the Sinkione Wilderness. So it's got a lot of nature and beauty all around it. It's a kind of an interesting little town in that it was created as a basically has a massive subdivision at one point in the past. And
it was kind of a retirement village. Isn't that what the initial projections were for it?
Yeah, and it's got a really storied past in terms of this subdivision. Way too many lots. Lots hanging off the side of cliffs, etc. But they are all legal lots as per the subdivision. Anyway,
I remember Steve Strawn, when Steve was still part of the county structure, he would come in and he'd have the list of lots that were available for tax purposes.
Shelter Cove always had those.
Shelter Cove, not only did it always lead, but it also led in the number of vertical acreage available. People not paying attention, you got 2 feet next to the road, and then it goes straight up, and you got a 3 foot ledge, and there you go. You know, they're buying it for $20,000, think they got a steal until they show up.
When they did the original subdivision, the map, I've seen it, the map that they put out looked as if it was completely flat. And there were all sorts of wonderful lots. Now, there are wonderful lots, and Shelter Cove's been growing quite a bit. But there's what Shelter Cove did, the Resort Improvement District did, because it is counting itself as basically as a resort or something of that nature. It's turned out to be somewhat also of a retirement village. People who can afford to stay out there and not get on that road and take a long trip to anywhere very often, you know.
Thought you were going to say civilization.
Yeah. So. But anyway, they put in what's known as a combining zone, and what that is it's a zone over a zone. So it's a residential area, but the combining zone or the Q zone has certain rules peculiar to that area. And what they call for is you cannot do any kind of improvement or construction on your lot unless you are about to build a house. And once you get a permit to build a house on that lot, then you can put a fence up, you can put an ancillary building, you can put a temporary trailer to live in while you're working on your house.
So
you
if
can
I,
put if, your tools in there.
If you and I decide that we want to put something on our lot, let's say a platform to put a tent on, let's throw in a little bit of gravel for a driveway so we're not choking on the dust or blocking the road, or putting the sidewalk in. All of those are prohibited until we're deciding that we're going to put a foundation and we're going to put a structure large enough to be considered a domicile.
Yes, because that is the makeup. That is the makeup of the community, and so they did that. And for a long time, they enforced that pretty strictly. I mean, because there were people, and you know, young people. At one point, lots were going for $5,000 or $10,000, which is in a very deep, dark past. But there was a time when you could get a lot overlooking the ocean, and you could imagine in your mind's eye, yes, I'll put a platform and a tent on there, and I can go out there on the weekend and have a wonderful time by the ocean. Well, they did not allow for that, but over time, that has changed a little bit.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products. And of course, there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the concept of Shelter Cove as a retirement area, it's pretty easy to tell it because of the isolation. Mm-hmm. Not too many communities with hundreds that have their own airstrip that have some of the amenities that this area does have. You can tell that there was a grand scheme design somewhere. Mm-hmm. The boat ramp launch also. There's a number of different things that are out there that make it kind of, well, it's set up for success. So you mentioned how the Resort and Improvement District has kind of evolved over the years. What does it currently allow? What's the current situation now? Shelter Cove?
Well, the combining zone, or the Q zone that I mentioned, is still in place, and that came out to the fore when we were looking at a couple of code enforcement issues at a couple of meetings ago. And the situation is that people have moved in, put in temporary structures, and basically nothing's happened about it. But the Resort Improvement District's been a bit concerned about it, and the code enforcement has been following up on it. And there were two cases before us where the property owner in one case and a representative of the property owner in the other, one of them said basically, well, I didn't know what this was. I didn't know that I couldn't do something before.
But that's in the contract, so you can't plead stupid, can you?
Well, another issue that came up in that discussion was that they didn't do it through a realtor. They didn't purchase the property through a realtor. They purchased it some other way. So they did not, apparently.
What do I sound like, the redneck? Ignorance, ignorance of the law now is a defense? I mean, it seems to me that there is some responsibility for the individuals, whether if it's a realtor, to share it. And if you're going private party to private party, buyer beware. I mean, you got to accept some of that responsibility on your own.
Yeah, and you know, it's questionable as to whether or not the other individual was aware of it, because he actually talked about it before this meeting. But anyway, the bottom line is it was pretty educational, and what we did as a result, which is an unusual thing too, actually, a lot of times when you have code enforcement issues before the board, you won't have anybody come up. I mean, if they're an abatement or a nuisance or that kind of thing. But they did come, and they talked about trying to work with us, trying to work with code enforcement. And so we gave them, instead of 30 days to address it, we gave them 60 days. And an education, I would say, on what it's like to get property in Shelter Cove and what your responsibilities are at that point.
So is this a property owner that has the 60 days to conform?
Yes.
Or does this also push the resort district to print, clearly codify, come up to speed, to share with everybody who's in the improvement district what the current status is?
Well, that was brought up a little bit in the discussion, and I don't think it would be a bad idea at all for RED to do a little bit of outreach just to make it sure, you know, clear and on the record that these are the situations. I asked if they had a hookup, because I would imagine that if you have a hookup to utilities in the Resort Improvement District, you would get all their materials. And it is pretty expensive to hook up in Shelter Cove. It's $37,000 to get your water and sewer and electricity.
Pretty kind of goes out the window on that one.
Yeah.
It's expensive, yeah.
Yeah. So, in fact, one of the property owners said, you know, it's so expensive, I'm wondering if maybe I even want to stay there. So we'll see. But and it was very interesting, too, because a lot of times when we get these presentations from the code enforcement, you'll see places that are extremely derelict and run down and have lots of garbage around them and everything. But this didn't really look like that. But there was a nice big fence along the property, which is against the code, since they haven't gone through the process.
So what is the end game for the Resort and Improvement District? What do they have this in place? What are they trying to avoid happening? Somebody pulling, I mean, a platform with a tent on it throughout half of the year doesn't sound like a bad neighbor kind of thing at all. And you got more people in the neighborhood. Maybe they're spending a couple more bucks at the store, this and that. And I don't see that as a negative, but obviously these folks do. Is it go back to the original tenants where they thought this was going to be a high rent summer home kind of a situation before reality set in and it didn't quite turn that way?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's in the code, and it is the code at this point. You know, one of the supervisors brought up, well, can we talk about the fence? I mean, that doesn't seem such a bad idea to have a fence around your property, but the code there says, no, you can't do that if you're not building a home, because the whole idea is that it's for homes out there. Whether RID wants to change that, that's up to the Resort Improvement District, and we can't tell them what they should do.
They are a special entity unto themselves.
That is correct, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, there's been a lot of discussion in the last little bit about WIOT water rights and the situation that's going on. I guess that's about the easiest way to call it, is the mm-hmm. situation. We spent a couple of shows in the past. The sheriff has spent many of his shows talking about some of the environmental degradation associated with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It still seems like a sizable segment of the community sees this as far as an issue. But when you start bringing in environmental impacts to that same all of a sudden a lot of people get pretty darned excited. Is that what is kind of at the root of the water issues that WIOT's having to deal with now? Or does this kind of go back a little bit further than just this current water year?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, actually. It's alleged that the instigating factor was that there was water being allegedly stolen from the system over two evenings. $10,000 gallons an evening was taken out of the system.
This is the water truck pulling up and
exactly to the fire hydrant. So when they discovered that, what that did was it drew down their storage system, and they got a variance from the or some type of an okay from the Department of Public Health in Sacramento to actually use their filters more stringently, let's say, than they should under their permits. So what happened is, anyhow, they had to switch between two water feeder systems, their system A and B, and the kind of pressures that built up sprung a bunch of leaks as they were trying to backfill their water supply in order to keep the town supplied with water. That then resulted in the emergency that we declared on August 12th, and that kicked in the OES and everybody else looking at how to do the repairs. The bottom line is, though, when you said, is this a long, an old system or an old problem, it is to some degree, in that the, quote, A line that they're working on fixing was put in place in 1974. So it's fragile, and the whole system.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah, well, I know we can
had
all
a class
remember
reunion a couple weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Well, it's nigh on 40 years.
Yeah, fine. Thanks for the math.
So there, you know, there are leaks springing up here and there and everywhere. But the bottom line is, it's been a real stressor on the system. And so, yes, you could say that the whole issue about water storage and stealing and all that, it did have some bit of a role in this, and that is a very big issue. You know, it's districts. I think we've mentioned this before. A lot of the local districts are not providing water, bulk water anymore. A lot of the water that's making its way down to Southern Humboldt now is coming from the Fortuna area, and but this was somebody just helping themselves to the water without any kind of a by your leave, and therefore impacting both the community of WIOT and the environment.
So as you are looking at something like that, you know, one, I got to salute whoever it is, had a little bit of creativity. Yeah, okay, hats off on that one.
Mm-hmm.
However, to use that much water, it's obvious where that's going. That's not going to fill up somebody's swimming pool. That's going to something else. as you look at the situation as it is with the aging infrastructure, the population shift that's happened there too. I mean, you know, there aren't as many mills or mill-related jobs and trucking jobs and some of the stuff that was the historical source of employment in that area. What is the county looking at as an option? This isn't a special district like Shelter Cove. We are just part of the county. What are the troops looking at? What's Tom and Public Works looking at? Does OES have anything that does Dan have access, or FEMA or whoever have access to any backfill monies for this? Or is it just one of those, you know, we took our eye off the ball, this thing aged out on us, and now we're in a tough corner, and we're going to have to figure this thing out?
Well, as soon as we declared the emergency, OES became involved, and so that's why they're able to help in terms of getting other state agencies on board. In this particular case, you have the Community Services District, and it's their responsibility to keep the system upgraded. Then, of course, you've got...
This is Wiat Community Services District?
Wiat Community Services District. So they first declared an emergency, and then I brought that before the Board of Supervisors. We had a presentation. We just declared an emergency. That got out to Sacramento. That helps grease the wheels, if you will, between the agencies. Because in this particular case, you've got several agencies involved, including CAL FIRE and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the State Department of Parks and Recreation, and, believe it or not, Caltrans, because part of the fix means that Avenue of the Giants is going to have to be closed for 2 weeks in order to dig up that road and put this new system under it.
Lay the new pipe.
Exactly. And that can't happen until after marbled murrelet season, but it has to happen before the winter rains, because that's when the much-anticipated...
The particulate matter gets in.
Oh, it would create an incredible mess. Already there are something like 20 cubic feet of silt that made their way into the stream because of this leak that shot out against, it was like hydro mining the bank of the stream. So it's
nobody found any gold.
Not so far, but I haven't talked to anybody recently. So
now the smarty in me is saying, geez, you're going to be tearing up a roadbed in the middle of a redwood grove, and the trees aren't going to die, sounds vaguely familiar to something else that we're looking at, but I guess I probably shouldn't go there,
Well, let's see. I don't know what the plan is or how they're going to implement it. I know that when they get to the water part of the, of this whole equation, they're actually going to be doing a very innovative system that allows them to drill under the stream at an angle. They go in at an angle, and they'll be able to, without disturbing the stream bed, they'll be able to get across and under and over to the other side. So maybe there'll be something of that nature happening at the road, but I'm not going to be tied to that because I don't know. I haven't seen the plan for the road yet.
Perhaps.
There will undoubtedly be some kind of disturbance.
But something has to happen relatively quickly.
There's
don't
a pipe
they?
There now.
Right.
Well, there's under the road.
There's a road there now, too.
There's a road there and a pipe there. Yeah. And there are trees there.
Is this a ticking time bomb? I mean, you mentioned the winter time, certainly. What about between now and then? And you got schools, you've got the community, you've got a bunch of folks that are impacted today, tomorrow, the next day with this situation. Granted, it's not a huge population center in the county, but nonetheless, they're part of the county. Are there triage measures that are being taken now to kind of bring in water trucks or whatever it is, just to kind of keep the ball rolling, so to speak, until a permanent solution can occur?
Yes, absolutely. This is now acknowledged as an emergency, so any problems that come up will be dealt with, I would hope, pretty quickly and efficiently, and that includes getting water from other districts and whatever else that needs to happen. So yes, it's troublesome, and unfortunately, I'm very, very pleased to note that the California Department of Health saw it as an emergency. I mean, Yes, it's a small population, but 330 people live there, or at least are hooked up to the system. And that's, you know, that's quite considerable. And you, as you said, you have the school and Cal Fire and state parks themselves.
Well, school's starting in a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, a couple quick minutes, not enough time to really get into too much. The general plan process, is it continuing or is it kind of taking summer off?
No, we've got to. We really are determined to make this move along at a good clip. And in fact, as you mentioned it, this Friday, August 23rd, an all-day meeting, looking at land use designations, among other things. And that's quite of an interesting issue. And then, as we've mentioned before in the past, September 23rd, there'll be another special meeting, and that will be on the guiding principles and other aspects of the general plan update. So we're moving forward.
Is this thing ever going to die?
It's going to be born. It's okay. Had a very, very long labor.
I Touche. Yeah. What was the phrase somebody has? Yeah. Labor went so long, an adult was born.
That's exactly right. Yes. Not even a teenager.
No. So you're feeling kind of halfway okay that there's stuff going on and it's headed in a direction of solution.
Absolutely. I'm actually, I know that some people might be tired of it. I'm very excited by the fact that so many people are becoming involved and that we're going to come up with a good product and we'll move forward from there.
Good deal. Speaking about moving forward, I'm moving out of here, so well, I think you will too. It's, we've run out of time.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
You betcha. Enjoy your summer off.
All right.
We've been Talking Shop with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, you guys make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.